This story is personal for us because we live in Madison. In fact, our producer, Charles Monroe Kane, lives just a few blocks away from the house where Tony Robinson was shot. It's a pretty mixed-race neighborhood. Charles happens to be white, and the tragedy has been rippling through it. Here's how his family dealt with it.
My wife and I heard about Tony Robinson's death on Friday night. We didn't know what to tell our kids that weekend about all the protests, the candlelight vigils, the police barricades, all the TV vans that were filling our neighborhood. And then on Sunday, my son's fourth grade teacher told us that one of the kids in my son's elementary school was Tony Robinson's sibling. It's a small school, she said. The kids all know each other. There will be grief counselors at school on Monday, but she thought it'd be better if we told our son about Tony's death. Better for him to hear it from us instead of hearing it on the playground. So Sunday evening, we sat down with our son. He's 10 years old. He's big for his age, but I gotta be honest here. He looks so little sitting there on the edge of his bed. I don't exactly remember which words we used to tell him, that a brother of a kid in his school had been killed by a police officer, but I remember how much he cried. I don't quite know how we explained that the officer was white and the boy was black and unarmed, but we sat there, trying to explain racism to a 10-year-old. It's a hard enough thing for you and I to try to understand, let alone a kid whose only goal in life is building a city in Minecraft. My son wanted to know if he was safe. He really wanted to know if his best friend, who was black, was safe. We did our best to reassure him, but, you know? He went to school on Monday and didn't mention the grief counselors when he got home. He went to school on Tuesday, and I took him out for milkshakes, just him and me. I wanted to see how he was doing. That's when he told me about the fights. Some of the kids are on the cop side, he said. Some of the kids are on the black people's side, he said. And there were fights after school, walking home, and on the playground. And my big boy was worried. He was worried that the teachers might take sides. What if there were so many fights that the principal had to get involved? What if the superintendent and the school board, maybe even the governor, had to stop the kids from fighting? Maybe school would close. Maybe even the president would have to do something. But it wouldn't cause a world war or anything. He knew that was too far, too much. But it was really, really tense at school, he said. I didn't know how to help him. What was I going to say? And then he told me that he and a bunch of other kids came up with a kind of solution on their own. They agreed to stop telling mean jokes until after spring break. They'd hold off on the cut-downs that are so popular with fourth graders. You're so ugly that, or yo mama is jokes. They're not racist or anything, he said, but maybe if we don't tell jokes for a while, things won't be so tense. And then he said, you gotta do something, right, Dad?
That's to the best of our knowledge, producer Charles Monroe Kane.